Welcome to another audience interview presented by Speed Art Museum and Kentucky Tourism. This is Doug Driesback, publisher of Audience Magazine, and today I'm excited to catch up with a name synonymous with the city of Louisville, Mayor for Life, Jerry Abramson, who not only served 5 terms as mayor of Louisville, but also as lieutenant governor under Steve Beshear and the director of intergovernmental affairs in the Obama White House. He's a longtime advocate for the arts in Louisville and was part of the grand opening of the Kentucky Center and has many memories of the iconic anchor of arts in the state. So without further ado, welcome, Mayor.
Well, it's great to be with you, Doug. Thanks for the invite.
Well, it's, I can't think of many people more knowledgeable about the history of Louisville than you, and we're excited to have you on. So thank you for your time today and looking back at some of the memorable moments at the Kentucky Center, celebrating 40 years of service as the host of Louisville's arts and entertainment, as well as other monumental events and social gatherings over the years. So that's exciting. But just a few years before you were first elected mayor for your first term in 1986, correct?
Right, on January 1, 86.
So the center celebrated their grand opening and what would be the anchor of arts in the state. What do you remember kind of about the time leading up to that grand opening and some of those opening ceremonies and kind of through that first term when you got into office?
Well, it was very exciting. At the outset, the question was, where was it going to be located? There was an argument that it should be located where the Humana building is today. And then the decision was to cross the street and place it contiguous to the Belvedere. There was also a question when Governor Brown, John Y. Brown, and Phyllis George were leading our Commonwealth as to who was going to pay for it. Originally, Julian Carroll, the governor prior to John Y., had said the state would cover it, a significant amount of money. John Y. said when he became governor that unless the community generated, I think the number was $10 million for a sinking fund, a capital endowment, if you will, to make sure that the upkeep for the Kentucky Center, that it would not be built. And that's when, as I recall, Mr. Barry Bingham, Sr., led with a lot of other folks, including David Jones and Wendell Cherry, all of which unfortunately have passed on, they raised $10 million to have that endowment, and John Y. stepped in as governor of Kentucky and made the investment accordingly. The opening night was incredible. First, I was very fortunate to have been able to go. It was not inexpensive. As I remember, it was $1,500 a couple, which back at that point in time in the 80s was a lot of money. That's a lot of money right now. But I was a partner at Greenbaum, Dahl, and McDonald, and the firm put up half the price, and the partners then matched it with half the price. So I was able to attend, and the great news was I was single at the time, but I had a date with the woman that I ultimately married, Madeline. So therefore, when you see the names of people who were at the opening and put up the original funding, when I have my name there for the 2 tickets, I could always say I was with my soon-to-be wife. So it worked out quite well. It was an elegant night with a red carpet from the main street up to the opening. We walked afterwards over to the convention center for an elegant dinner. The one faux pas that occurred, as I remember, was Charlton Heston was the MC at the beginning. And, you know, we were all so excited, black tie and rolling into this magnificent building, and we thought we were the center of the arts in the world at that point. We were the center of the arts community in the world, and Heston opens up by saying, gosh, you know, everybody looks so great, and it's such a wonderful night, and it's really great to be here in Nashville. And the place, you could just feel the air coming out of the balloon. People were going, oh, no.
Wow. That would be stage fright number one if I was a performer or an entertainer, yeah, saying the wrong city.
And it hurt all of us so much, Doug, because we were so pumped up thinking we were the, you know, the best of the best for that night, and he opens that way.
Wow. So it sounds like the center has a special meaning to you in many ways. From that perspective, what do you feel like the center, why is it so special to the community in the city of Louisville?
Well, the reality is that culture plays a major role in so many aspects of our lives. I mean, in terms of the quality of life and the opportunities for exposure for our children and for adults to be able to appreciate the ballet, appreciate the Broadway series, appreciate the opera, appreciate the orchestra, stage one, the small entrepreneurial theater, the next, to have a facility like the Baumhardt for the Kentucky Authors Forum and smaller plays and events. I mean, it is an incredible centerpiece for our hometown. And from an economic development point of view, obviously it creates a lot of jobs. But I used it when I was mayor as a part of our pitch as we tried to attract businesses to, as they were looking around to relocate, to look at Louisville seriously. And I would use an event at the Center for the Arts. I would call over and say, you know, the CEO and spouse of XYZ company are going to be in town in 3 weeks. And we're going to be showing them this, that, whatever. And I see there's a performance of the ballet or a performance of the orchestra or there's a play that night. Can I get 4 tickets? And Madeline and I will take the CEO and spouse to show that there's a cultural base in this community to ensure them and their employees that they'll have that kind of quality of life if they would become a member of our hometown and join us in the future. So, you know, it plays a role in economic development in terms of creating jobs and generating economic multiplier, an economic multiplier. But it also played a role in sort of saying to the decision makers of companies that were looking to relocate that, you know, you may be coming from New York or Chicago, or you may be coming from Atlanta or Denver or L.A., and you may not really know much about Louisville, and you think of Kentucky as sort of a backward state for whatever reason, then we're able to, through the cultural arts and the aspect of the orchestra and the opera and the ballet and actors theater and stage one theater, we're able to show that this is a very sophisticated community in many ways and provides a real enhanced quality of life for you and for your employees.
So the So not only was it important for luring companies in and kind of entertaining them, but also just the magnificent of the center when, you know, the big steps rolling into the main entrance there and everything else. What impresses you, or what do you like the most about the center as far as like the comfort of it or the design, architecture, acoustics in the main Whitney Hall and that kind of thing? What really stands out to you if you're going to describe, somebody's coming into town, a CEO's coming into town, you say, hey, you got to see our art center. It's great because of this. What would some of those things, what would that conversation
be
like?
The first thing that comes to mind is a discussion I had when Wendell Cherry was alive about the magnificent art that is throughout the Kentucky Center for the Arts. I mean, people, I think, look up on the walls or look at the statues and you know, say, aren't those nice? But the reality is they're not only nice, they're incredibly special. And the workmanship, those who painted or compiled the art are really well-known national and international artists. So that jumps out at me, and I've always been concerned that too many people overlook that aspect. The Whitney is certainly special. It was a big argument, as you can imagine, about having or not having a middle aisle. It was developed in more of a European setting, as I remember the explanation that Wendell Cherry gave, the late Wendell Cherry gave. That it was European and it would not have that dead area that would reflect negatively on sound that a center aisle would have, and therefore it would be a better sound acoustically, the Whitney would be enhanced acoustically. And of course, we had the floating clouds at that point. They've sort of gone away, but the theory from the original developer of the acoustics for the Whitney was that those clouds in the sky, you would move them in the sky, in the roof, you would move them around based on whether it was a play or an orchestra concert or an opera to be able to provide enhanced listening experiences from those sitting in the Whitney Theater. So that I'm not sure that worked out as well as they had hoped, and that has been changed several times. The other thing was that I think it was smart that the 600-seat Baumhart was set up, as I think it was smart that the Mex Theater of sort of a, you know, new entrepreneurial events are held there. Small seating, I don't know, maybe 70, 80 people. But you can see things that you otherwise wouldn't have had an opportunity to see at a large arts center normally would normally provide. So, you know, I'm very impressed with the thinking of those who developed it originally. And as time has gone by, the changes, I think, have enhanced it.
Absolutely. And then just the comfort of going in and out of your seat, wide aisles, big seats, all that stuff is just a great place to watch a show as well. So how often do you attend performances at the center, and what are some of your favorite things to attend there as far as plays or orchestra concerts and those kind of things?
We have had season tickets to the orchestra for many, many, many years. We go to Broadway plays from time to time based on ones we want to see. We go to the Kentucky Authors Forum in the Baumhart, and as recently as last week, we went to see a play at the Mex, which was sort of avant-garde, if you will, in terms of what it was about and how it was staged. So we go often.
Well, that's great. Do you remember other than the grand opening, the first performance that you saw at the center?
You know, I don't, but if I had to bet the ranch, I would say it was a Louisville Orchestra concert.
And any that really jump off the page that you remember that just stuck out and that was maybe one of your more favorite events?
You know, often it would be the specialty of having a soloist that would play with the orchestra who would be incredibly special. The most recent one obviously just won a Grammy. I mean, she was a magnificent pianist. I happened to play French horn in the Seneca High School Orchestra. So anytime a French horn soloist was part of the orchestra's presentation, I always found that very special. But I have always enjoyed the soloists who have played with the orchestra. The artists have always been extremely special and enhance the opportunities. Now, I like the classics. So, you know, was it 2 years ago, the orchestra performed Beethoven's Fifth. It was completely sold out. Personally, that's my taste in music, but I find it very exciting the way Teddy is able to bring us new classical music interwoven with what we think of as classical music so that we can have an appreciation for both. I think he's done an excellent job in that regard.
And you're always sure to let him know that if he needs a backup French horn player that you're on he has your phone number, right?
That's exactly right. When I was on the orchestra board of directors way back, Barry Bingham Jr., who also played French horn, I think at Mayle, and I can't remember his name, the dean at the time of the music school at U of L, who also played French horn. So we always had at the Louisville Orchestra board meetings a French horn section that would sit together and speak out as an organized section rather than an individual.
That's great. Well, Mayor, we can't thank you enough for your time today and your look back at the Kentucky Center and the importance in this community and celebrating 40 years of operations and providing memories for probably millions of people. But is there anything else you'd like to add about the center as we close?
No, I just think it was special when it opened, and it continues to be special and needs to be nurtured and appreciated. Folks need to engage and participate to ensure its success, and you really appreciate the state of Kentucky's commitment to financial support, as well as this community and region's commitment on an annual basis to ensure that it's maintained and that it is updated where necessary. So we're very fortunate to have that partnership with our Commonwealth.
Fantastic. Well, we hope to see you at the center soon, and thank you for your time. And thank you all for listening to another audience interview today brought to you by the Speed Art Museum and Kentucky Tourism. For more interviews, event recommendations, and information about the arts and entertainment in Louisville, visit audience502.com and look for us on social media. Have a great day.